Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
This is episode number 413. Welcome back to the program. I appreciate you all coming back. This week, I am recording this a little bit early, and it's a shorter episode because I am actually headed to Raleigh, North Carolina to present at the Lodge of the Nine Sisters along with my co-author, great friend and brother, John Ruark. By the time you're listening to this, I have gone and come back. In the news this week, not a ton going on, some crazy stuff going out there in the profane world for sure, as always. I want to give a huge thanks to our producers, fellows, and contributors. Their names are all on the website. Whether you support us through PayPal or on Patreon, it is greatly appreciated. I also want to mention that Levi Banker and Banker's Best is doing some transition work, and in the interim, they may be low on inventory, so please do check out buybankersbest.com, but be aware that there may be some inventory shortages, and it might be a little bit before you can order certain things, notably King Solomon's Reserve Beard Oil. I've got a couple great pieces for you this week, including a follow-up from last week's piece on by Brother Todd E. Creason. I've got a wonderful new Masonic Minute by illustrious Brother Stephen L. Harrison. I wanted to read a piece from the MSA notes that I get as part of the Short Talk Bulletins. In fact, I wanted to actually read the Short Talk Bulletin, but I need to reach out to them first to make sure they're okay with that. I know they have their own podcast and don't want to step on any toes. We should be having a relatively awesome news week. In the next couple weeks, I'm going to release something really cool. So be excited about that. MasonicCon Chicago continues to grow. We just announced another speaker, and that speaker will actually be announced this Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday. If you're listening to this on Sunday evening, then you got to wait a couple days when we announce it on Tuesday for social media and the rest of the world. As of right now, everybody in the world knows that Tim Hogan will be there, as well as illustrious brother Todd E. Creason. Now, the next brother that is going to be there, I will tell you next week. For now, only the people who subscribed to the email list got that notification. And we will be, of course, announcing another one in the next couple weeks. So if you want to get the scoop first, go to MasonicConChicago.com. You can spell it MasonicConChicago or MasonicConChicago. Both will lead you to the same site. And you'll be able to sign up on the email list, and we'll make sure that you get those announcements first. But without any further ado, let's get into this week's education right after this. Now comes the point in the show where I ask you to help support this show. How do we do that? Well, we have a bunch of different ways to do that today. If you head on over to WCYpodcast.com, you can click on direct donation through PayPal, which we briefly touched on in the beginning of the program. Of course, you can make that one-time donation, or you can sign up to be a monthly contributor. Contributing $2 a month, $5, or even $10 a month, whatever you choose, really helps the program out. Of course, we have a limited edition shop where you can pick up any number of items that come direct from us. Help us out by going to MasonicRevival.com, but also we have some other affiliates that are really important. Banker's Best, one of the most unique things we've ever done, is to work with Brother Levi Banker out of St. Louis, who owns his own company called Banker's Best Beard and Skin Care. He's been so generous. If you head to WCYpodcast.com, click on More, then click on Banker's Best, and you can check out a bunch of the different products he's got. He's got a whole line of beard care products, skin care, oils, balms, all of this stuff, and he has been doing it a long time. He knows a lot about it. Everything is handmade, quality items. We even came up with the King Solomon's Reserve Beard Balm, which is a few years old now, but remains one of the great products that he still offers. Even the artwork on the bottle was done by a brother. The nice thing about this particular product is 50% of the proceeds come back to the program. If you're a history guy like me, then you'll be pleased to know that what makes the beard oil and balm very special is that it was made utilizing the fragrances specific to the exports of King Solomon's time and location, which is amazing. So black fig and honey is the formula. Luxurious scent, as Levi says, truly fit for our first Grand Master. If you use the promo code BBWCY357 at checkout, you'll also get a little bit of a percentage off. Please check that out. Banker's Best, or just head on over to buybankersbest.com. We also have a code with On It. You can go to our website, click on More, then go to On It, and you can click through any of the links here, or just go to onit.com and use the promo code WCY at checkout. You'll get 10% off, and they'll send a little bit back to the program to help us out. And of course, it's business time. The book that I wrote with John T. Ruart, it is making some real waves, and people are using it and seeing success. So check that out on Amazon. You can click right to it. You can get it on Audible, Kindle, or in print, even on iBooks. And last but not least, I want to ask you to check out the Great Books program. You'll see the banner for it on the left-hand side, Intellectual Linear Progression. Use the promo code WCY, or you can just click on that link there, and you'll actually go right to the website and hear a little bit from Scott Hambrick about how awesome the program is. So that's it. I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you so much for helping us out. Now I'm reading this one straight off the old paper. No digital on this one. This is the MSA notes from August of 2019, and I just thought that this was kind of an interesting little article that they produced and printed within the Masonic Service Association of North America's regular communication. It says, "The old-fashioned way some Masons settled their differences." The February 2019 issue of Kentucky's Masonic Home Journal featured an article about when dueling was prevalent even among Masons. Although illegal in the United States and certainly an offensive remedy for Masons, nonetheless, human nature being what it was, often overruled clearer thinking. Two of the abusers were Brother Henry Clay, then Secretary of the State, and Senator John Randolph in 1826. Their dispute, Senator Randolph impugning Secretary Clay's reputation by calling him a quote-unquote Puritan with a black leg, or a dishonest card cheat. Since neither wanted to wound the other seriously, both shot without conviction, and they decided to call it off. The same brother, Henry Clay, a member of Lexington Lodge No. 1, had earlier defended Aaron Burr on charges of treason in 1806. Of course, Burr, while vice president in 1804, had shot and killed possible Freemason Alexander Hamilton. Another duel Brother Clay was involved in was with Brother Humphrey Marshall, brother of John Marshall, Chief Justice of the United States. Brother Marshall called Brother Clay a quote-unquote liar, and the duel was on. Each suffered minor wounds by the time the smoke cleared, but each survived. In 1820, Brother Clay later became Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Kentucky. In 1818, Grand Master and Dr. William H. Richardson was severely wounded by Brother and Dr. Benjamin Dudley. Brother Dudley's timely intervention stopped the wound from becoming lethal, and Grand Master Richardson attended his Grand Lodge session later that month. Another duel fought on Kentucky soil involved Brother, and later to become Tennessee Grand Master and President of the United States, Andrew Jackson. Brother Jackson acted to defend the honor of his wife against slurs by Charles Dickinson. The first shot wounded Brother Jackson, and although his gun misfired, which should have ended the duel, he fired again and mortally wounded his foe. The lack of, quote-unquote, playing by the rules did not prohibit him from escaping murder charge of becoming Grand Master and President. Brother Jackson entered into more than 100 duels in his lifetime. Dueling wasn't exclusive to Kentucky either. Brother and Senator Thomas Hart Benton, charter member of Missouri Lodge No. 1 and uncle of a future Grand Master of Iowa, had many duels. He killed Charles Lucas at their second duel. Prospective Brother Abraham Lincoln, Illinois legislator and later president, was challenged to a duel by Brother James Shields, then state auditor, and later senator of three states, over an alleged insulting letter. The duel was called off when Brother Shields was convinced Mr. Lincoln had not authored the letter, as suspected. Brother Stephen Decatur, Jr., probably a member of St. John's Lodge in Maryland, fell at the hands of Commodore James Barron in 1820. Brother Decatur accepted the Commodore's apology at death's door, saying it was a fair fight. While Masons still have differences, they have come a long way from the time when dueling was the means to address disagreements. Social media, anonymous letters, gossip, and innuendo are now the un-Masonic way to squabble. The advice, quote, "you agree to avoid private peaks and quarrels," end quote, and, quote, "that noble emulation of who can best serve and best agree," end quote, should be all a Mason needs now to avoid disputes. Funding of the MSA Notes has been provided by the Supreme Forest Tall Cedars of Lebanon. Again, this is from MSA Notes. I would urge anybody interested to head on over to www.msana.com to check out everything, to learn how to subscribe to getting these in the mail, and most notably, to subscribe and get the Short Talk Bulletins. You know, I read a lot of the really old Short Talk Bulletins on the program, some of which I'm not sure if they would ever make it into the Short Talk Bulletin podcast that's out there, but nonetheless, you should definitely check out that podcast. I think they're doing a great job and a great service for Masonry. So provided it, I'll reach out and see if they'll allow me to read this one. If not, perhaps they'll consider checking this one out and putting it out for everybody. But let's keep moving forward in this episode. Just a note about the last paper that we read, though. It was interesting, right, to hear a little bit about Abraham Lincoln and dueling, considering papers that we read just a couple weeks ago regarding Abraham Lincoln and the fraternity and the shady characters that he had to deal with on occasion. Let's check out illustrious brother Stephen L. Harrison's Masonic Minute.
Last November, we all lost a man who had become an active, dedicated, true, and faithful brother among us. Roy Linwood Clark, a talented, acclaimed musician, former Entertainer of the Year, Grammy winner, singer, and virtuoso guitarist, passed at the age of 85 to that lodge not made with hands. Clark was a perpetual member of Jenks Lodge 497 in Oklahoma. He was made a Mason at sight in 1987 and quickly became a leader in the fraternity. A Shriner and member of the York Rite, he also joined the Valley of Tulsa Scottish Rite, which coroneted him a 33rd degree Inspector General Honorary in 2001. Roy Clark was always a talented spokesman for the craft and avidly promoted its tenets and values. A few years ago, speaking from the heart, he told this story at one of his concerts. "The importance of Masonic brotherhood," he said, "was brought home to our band last month when we were on tour in Regina, Saskatchewan. Our guitar player, Frank Sandusky, had a blood vessel suddenly rupture in his neck, was rushed to the hospital, and the doctor's report was grave. When local brothers found out he was a Mason, they sent for his wife. They took her in, saw that she got back and forth to the hospital, and saw to her needs. It didn't cost her anything and made an unpleasant situation more bearable. And that is what Masonry is all about. Frank is with us today as my right arm in the band and plays a lot of the beautiful harmony you'll hear. I know of no other organization," said Clark, "where you have a friend all over the world. It gives you peace of mind, especially traveling as much as we do." We have all had that experience, haven't we? Where you can walk into a room full of men you have never met, but they are brothers and they are immediately your friends. When you are a Freemason among brothers, there are no strangers. For the Whence Came You podcast, this is Steve Harrison with the Masonic Minute.
All right. As always, mega thanks to illustrious Brother Harrison for his awesome support of this program, his constant work within the craft, and all of the education that he's been able to provide us over the years that he's been assisting this podcast. as well as before. He was the editor of the Missouri Freemason magazine. Of course, he is the 33rd degree. He maintains active membership, goes to Blue Lodge meetings. He does so much for us. So if you catch him on social media or you see him in person at one of his presentations, please make sure you walk up and say thank you. Brother Steve, as always, thank you. Next up, I want to read a piece that we started last week when illustrious Brother Todd E. Creason gave us a piece about Freemasonry finding our future. And this week, he said he would produce a part two, which he just did. So this piece just came out. It's hot off the web presses as of last Friday. But I thought, let's follow it up. Let's keep it in the podcast, and hopefully there'll be some continuity between the last couple weeks, and you guys would enjoy it. Freemasonry, Finding Our Future, Part 2, by Midnight Freemason founder Todd E. Creason, 33rd degree. Last week, I wrote about a meeting I attended at Admiration Chapter a few weeks ago. Now, you can read about that here. Last Wednesday, which was the anniversary of the 9/11 attack, I attended the regularly stated meeting of Ogden Lodge No. 754 in Illinois, AF and AM. Midnight Freemason senior contributor Greg Knox is the worshipful master of that lodge, and he led a very interesting discussion on the topic of civility. It was the second discussion in a series of discussions he's led on the topic of civility at Ogden Lodge. The thing that makes member education in our lodges so important, and discussions like this so relevant, is that we don't simply talk about the problems. We all know our society is genuinely lacking in civility. It doesn't exist, for the most part, on social media. It certainly doesn't exist in our politics. Even the most basic fundamentals of civility and respect are difficult to find in the world today, like the gentleman I saw this morning at Barnes & Noble, who was in such a hurry he let the heavy wooden door close on an elderly woman. It very nearly knocked her down. He did glance back and say, "Sorry," as he walked away, but he never stopped to help her gain entrance to the store. Civility is an issue today. And these discussions Worshipful Brother Knott has led are good because we didn't just complain about the lack of civility that exists today. We talked about what we could do both as individuals and as Masonic lodges to promote civility in our lodge. We identified a few things, including a tendency for people today to focus inwards on themselves. Social media has amplified that without question. How many pictures do you think the average teenager takes of themselves and posts any given day? There's also a lack of toleration for anyone that thinks differently than we do. This idea of live and let live no longer seems to exist. The idea that freedom means we can say what we think, believe what we wish, and live our life according to our own set of principles and priorities, so long as it doesn't infringe upon the rights of others to do the same. And finally, there's a lack of empathy in our society today. That ability to see things from another's perspective. There's a lack of curiosity to understand another's point of view or to put ourselves in another person's place. Like when you see an elderly woman struggling with a heavy wooden door and doing the right thing by stopping and holding it open for her. One thing that Masons can do to improve civility in our society today is to become the standard and to train a new generation of Masons to be principled men, to mentor them, to have discussions about topics that they can benefit from and can apply to their everyday life, to teach them the fundamentals of Freemasonry so they can become men of good character, and later mentors and trainers and examples themselves. It's living the principles that make the Mason, not just giving lip service to them. The hard part of this process is mentoring, being strong enough to pull someone off to the side and say, "That comment you made to Frank was out of bounds," or, "I think the way you characterized that situation you described during our meeting was misleading." We learn through trial and error, through correction. We learn more mistakes than we do from successes when we're made aware we've made one. Unfortunately, we live in a world that's afraid to correct anybody for any reason, and I think that fear has crept into Freemasonry as well. How do you think the future generations of Freemasons are going to act if we don't teach them to be Freemasons, serve as examples, and correct them gently and compassionately when they need it? If we are going to be a fraternity of certain standards and principles and beliefs, as we have always been, we are either going to have to defend them and teach them, or what's the point of any of this? Toddy Creason, founder. I found that really interesting. It's the ability to whisper wise counsel in the ear of an erring brother. Not too many people do that these days. I know that we try, but many times I think there's a level of uncomfortable that comes with that most people are unwilling to deal with. But also, I couldn't help but think, how often do we get corrected when it's like ritual? But seriously, I think this is something we should really think about. It seems to be a massive issue currently with the way that we have chosen to communicate worldwide, which really is the social media platforms. I know it was shorter, but this is all we've got this week. I have got to hop on a plane. I got to be up by 5 a.m. and get out the door. And for me, that's really early. I'm usually, I wake up at about 6:30. I go to bed around midnight, 1 o'clock, and then I wake up at 6:30 or so. So with that, I want to say thank you once more to our Patreon subscribers, our PayPal subscribers, those folks who support this program. Thank you very much for everything and for all you do. It means everything to not just me, but to everybody out there who listens to this program week after week, all 2 million of them. So until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson. Take care.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.